Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about the Delta variant. And this is a bit of a bonus episode. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I had an interview with Steve Ackerman. He's the CEO of Spectrum Medical over in Silver Springs. And it was such a good interview that I wanted to share it with you guys. So I'm going to have to apologize. The audio quality is speakerphone on a recorder quality. And the reason for that is that I was not planning on doing this as part of the podcast. That said, what Steve has to say is really good. And he highlights a couple really key factors related to the surge of the Delta variant that providers need to know about. And he also talks about what's being done to deal with these factors. So sit back, listen to this episode. I think you're really going to appreciate it. Steve has a lot to share. I'm talking to Steve Ackerman. He's the CEO of Spectrum Medical Supply. And, you know, obviously, we just went through months and months and months, more than a year of COVID hell. You know, got a chance to breathe and relax and go to Medtrade West. And then all of a sudden, the Delta variant reared its ugly head. Real broad question, but Steve, how are you feeling now that we have this Delta variant banging on our doors?
Well, it feels very much like the Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day. I can think of no better way to describe it. You know, we were beginning to relax a little bit, and masks were coming off, and we were being a little freer with patients in the showroom, and, you know, obviously having a lot more access to places that we hadn't had access to, and then boom, you know, we're doubling down now on being careful. And I would say it's less, I mean, when the first COVID round came, we were absolutely compulsive about wiping things down and surfaces, and we still do a fair amount of that, but, you know, the fact that it's now been determined to be more of an aerosol-driven kind of virus, we're really, you know, being very careful with distancing and masks and, you know, obviously doing all of the infection control that we would normally be doing, but just being very careful about where our guys are going and what their exposure is. So the, you know, the cost of PPE is back up again. The access to nursing homes. I think my greatest fear right now is that we're setting ourselves up again for the perfect storm. And, you know, it involves the, you know, the kind of three big things that killed us last year. One was the delivery times. At particularly skilled facilities and hospitals, where it used to take 10 minutes to run a walker in or a wheelchair in, we're finding 40, 50, 60 minutes sometimes, having to clear screening and wait for escorts and all kinds of things that are not baked into the reimbursement. So drivers that could typically do 10, 12, 13 runs a day were being reduced to 4 or 5 last year because of the time getting in and out of places. And then we also had a lot of equipment that was being set up improperly because maintenance was taking it at the door. And so we were coming back for lots of free repairs. And then a lot of stuff just getting broken and lost because people weren't taking care of it or being responsible for calling us when, for instance, a hospice patient died. So there was a lot of kind of ancillary costs going into it. Now, the thing that makes this the perfect storm is that the one thing we had going for us last time was that manufacturers were going out of their way to make it easy on us. Uh-huh. They were holding back price increases and extending terms and working with banks. And, you know, we had a lot of collaboration and my hat was really off to, you know, some of the bigger companies in particular for helping us get through that. But what's happened is that the crunch has hit them, and now we're, you know, coming out of the first of the year, we saw a whole round of, you know, at least 5% increases from most of the major manufacturers, and we're looking at a real bad surcharge situation right now with a lot of them, as well as poor ship times, because they're being backed up with the container issues that are you know, coming in from China. You know, China sent over so much PPE that the containers backed up here because we had nothing that we were really sending back to them. And we're in a crisis right now. Container went from 3,000 to well over 20,000. I've even heard 30 in some cases to be sent back across the ocean. And so all of the bent metal and we just saw probably a 40% increase in our rollators. And where this is a huge problem for us is we're trapped in the I'll call it the Medicare vortex, because you know there was no competitive bidding that was allocated for January 1 because CMS, quite frankly, by their own admission, determined that they weren't saving anything. So they had, you know, hit the rock bottom of where they could go with bidding prices.
Yeah.
But instead of making an adjustment for that or you know, consulting with the industry or at least being more transparent about what's going on, they went ahead and froze the prices and opened the market up to any willing provider. So the market volume that used to kind of pad the lower prices, you know, and I say pad in quotes, was now gone because now it's out there. So it's become a who can sell more fries kind of business. And the fact that we're now seeing increases that we can't pass on that are being passed on to us, it's really becoming a crush. I'm hearing nursing homes that are kind of on the periphery of urban areas. There's one in Manassas, Virginia, that's literally 20 miles from the capital, they can't get service because, you know, people are just not willing to have to go that far to lose money on a Medicare deal.
You mentioned a surcharge. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. It's a price increase that's packaged in a different name. But what's happened is with these container costs, you know, companies, and I'm not going to name companies because they're all kind of doing this, but they've gone in and they've had to determine that, hey, if we're bringing over a container of lift chairs or if we're bringing over a container of walkers and our cost has gone from 3,000 to 20,000, we're going to count up the number of lift chairs there are and pass that cost increase on to the providers, and then, you know, in theory, onto the consumer. And when we're dealing with a consumer good like a lift chair, it's fairly easy to say to people, hey, there's a $100 surcharge that's being levied right now because of the trade imbalance. And people are generally okay with that. But when it comes to Medicare, you can't do that. You know, you're stuck. So all of the Medicare items that are now coming in, that the cost of this increased container situation is being passed on to us in the way of surcharge. And the disguise of a surcharge is that in theory, when the problem goes away, they take the surcharge away. But I've been doing this for 40 years, and surcharges are usually blended into price increases once they become an unpopular topic. But so we're looking at it. We're looking at a fairly permanent price increase on a lot of this stuff that is now something that we can't pass on, and we're having to eat on top of, you know, all the other issues. You know, I mean, the cost of PPE has gone through the roof. You know, I told you about delivery times are a huge problem. And, you know, just access to places that we need to get into to be able to continue this. You know, we're also seeing an increase in people not doing elective surgeries. So, you know, one of our larger businesses is doing work for hip patients, and people aren't getting total hips now because the hospitals are being occupied again by COVID patients. So it's the same thing all over again, you know, the Groundhog Day thing coming, but with the added problem of these, you know, the non-cooperation, and I don't want to say non-cooperation, but the inability to cooperate on the part of the manufacturers, that's making this a real kind of scary time for the industry. We got to get Capitol Hill awake on this, and they're looking right now at the possibility of passing some legislation, and AA Home Care is pushing it hard to get a 90-10 blended rate, which would, you know, probably give us something like a 10% increase overall on some of the Medicare prices. But, you know, that's going to take time to get that done. But, you know, if you look at it really realistically, a 10% increase right now has already been eaten up by a 5% price increase and a 3 or 4% surcharge. So we're really fighting to stay even, which was a horrible number to begin with. So we've got a major, and there's no real answer that we're getting right now that's clear from CMS on what their plan is as far as going forward with bidding. I honestly think they don't know. I mean, I think they were surprised when they all of a sudden realized they were getting a price for a concentrator that was $100 more than the price across the river. The way it's structured is just not a proper mathematical model. So there's a lot of fighting to go on, but in the middle of all this fighting, we're bearing the brunt of it, and then, it's going to turn into an access problem. There's no question about it, and it's always unfortunate that, we can sing it, blow these horns till the cows come home, and nobody listens to it until patients are affected, and businesses are put out of business. I've heard of three businesses just in the last month that finally decided to close their doors, or at least their Medicare portion of the doors, because you just can't put up with the losing model.
So what I'm hearing from you is obviously the supply side situation has become dire, and it's made doubly dire by the fact that reimbursement is at rock bottom rates. We're trying to get a fix, at least somehow, on the reimbursement side, but we all know that can take a while, if not a few whiles.
And the fix has already been spent. On increases from the manufacturer, and you can't blame them. Their raw materials are going up. Their cost of basic shipping has gone up. I mean, it's just the dependency that we have on China in particular. Has really come home to roost right now. And it's not just our industry. I mean, you look at the microchips and, foam. Foam is a huge problem that affects our industry pretty, regularly. The irony of this is our whole industry went to bat like nobody's business for this COVID problem and really demonstrated that at home can be a good place to, recover. At home can be a good place if you're passing away. And the home care equipment is a vital part of that being a good medical choice.
Oh, well, and we saw on the respiratory side that HME could be part of the whole hospital in a home and provide some types of acute care.
Absolutely. And the acute care at home is getting better and better by the day, but there is not, we are just not getting any kind of proper reaction, I guess is the best way to put it, from CMS on the value add that's going on as far as the work that we're doing. And this wallowing in a competitive bidding price that is been demonstrated now to be the absolute bottom of the barrel with these additional costs that we have with getting and distributing and billing and we're also seeing that they're relaxing the restriction on audits now, so we're starting to get audited on things again, which I know they need to do because you just got to keep honest people honest. But the point is that this all adds cost to the picture, and it's getting to the point where it's beyond reason.
So in this unreasonable situation, besides getting an increase on reimbursement, do you see any other reasonable, attainable fixes?
The government has got to work very hard, and it's not just for our industry, but they've got to work very hard on getting that container cost down. Because my great fear is once you get the container guys used to $20,000 a container, what's going to ever take them back to $3,000 except some kind of regulatory pressure? We've heard of there's some factories in China right now that we deal with and all the major manufacturers deal with that are actually laying people off. They've got so much product on the ground right now that can't move that they can't keep up production. So there's a log jam there that needs to be administratively dealt with so the free market can kind of get back in and take over where pricing is. But what are we looking at? A year, 18 months? and what's going to happen to, you know, small business in the meantime, or even large business for that matter, and then certainly what's going to happen to those patients. And now they're you know, new COVID patients that are going to be clogging the system up. So we need to get some leadership in that particular, you know, this trade thing, to be able to just, you know, get product moving and just have some free flowing going on again, so there can be some market forces that can come back into play to stabilize.
All right. So it sounds to me like if we can get some real leadership both on the trade situation and particularly container costs, but in addition to the, you know, reimbursement help, we might have a pathway out of this. Obviously, we've got to move fast. You work a lot with a home care, obviously.
No, they're working. AA Home Care, as they usually do, are working very hard at the highest levels right now. But, you know, again, it's not deaf ears, but we just went through an administration change. So we're dealing with the whole retraining of a whole new group of political appointees that need to come in and understand what the issues are at great depth. And the career people there are definitely showing more signs of listening. But again, nobody listens until there's pain from the beneficiaries. And again, our industry is so set up to make sure there's no pain at that level that we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot. But, you know, again, I'm speaking very comfortably on behalf of the industry that it shouldn't be one person out there that gets put in between us and reality in terms of having to suffer to make this point. I mean, it's very, very clear what's going on, and the fact that we always have to put people in jeopardy to get people to listen to this is always beyond me. The one good thing that's going on right now, not being trapped in a bidding contract, and I say trapped in a, you know, the bidding contract was, you know, we learned to live with it. We learned to work with it. The one negative thing was that you could never say no. You couldn't say no to distance. You couldn't say no to time. And now you can say no. And this is where it's going to explode in the face of CMS. And it's unfortunate because, again, beneficiaries are going to be involved.
Exactly.
And Congress needs to hear this, that dealers can now say no. And that's what's going on at that nursing home I told you about in Manassas, that people are saying it's too far to go for a $20 wheelchair. I could make more money if I stopped on Memorial Bridge and threw it into the Potomac River. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because you're just losing money with the gas and the time and sitting in traffic. And
sure.
It's just, you know, where the price is, it's just not realistic for what we're being asked to do.
No, and why would anybody take a loss on an untenable situation?
I mean, you take losses all day long, and Medicare has been, you know, by hook or by crook, kind of structured that, you know, you win some, you lose some, and everybody understands that. And the idea is you try and serve everybody. But the losers now are so outpacing the winners that you just can't hold it up. And the other thing that Medicare doesn't realize is that they're a bellwether for all of the other insurance companies in the Medicaid program. So as they go, so go the rest of the industry that used to be able to count it on to maybe prop it up a little bit with more realistic fees. But that's evaporating. And so we're seeing actually a return to cash in a lot of cases, a combination of the baby boomers don't mind spending money a little bit more than their parents did, and the fact that they don't want to wait, and the fact that they want better products, and the fact that the equipment that they're getting through the program is pretty basic. Right now, that business is what's keeping us alive, the people's willingness. And unfortunately, that doesn't, I live in suburban Washington, where that's, you know, not a huge problem for lots of people. You know, if you're out in a more rural area or a less urban area, I'll say, people don't have the luxury of that disposable income, and they really count on their benefits. And it's tough for dealers in those areas. Now, to Congress's credit, they've kept the you know, the rural fee schedule has been propped up and is going to continue to be propped up to account for that. And the same thing with the non-rural non-bid. But now, you know, we're in the competitive bidding areas and dealing with rock bottom pricing and also skyrocketing, you know, traffic problems and skyrocketing cost of goods. So it's tough.
Absolutely. And gas, and especially gas costs, when you're talking delivery intensive businesses, there you go. Another complication.
Well, you know, and then throw into this whole picture labor. You know, that's the other issue where, you know, the government, again, supporting the population as they did, and I think did a very good job with it. But you've created a marketplace where people are used to making more money staying at home than they are to take a $15, $16, $17 driving job, an hour driving job. And so getting people back to work and getting qualified people, and, you know, particularly when you're asking them to go out and deal with COVID patients is another delicate part of the industry or the business.
So if you had to give your fellow providers any sort of advice about how they can weather this while, you know, the industry's leadership tries to wrangle the overarching issues that are driving a lot of these problems, i.e., you know, the trade costs and the reimbursement, you know, but anything that can help them kind of, you know, weather this storm, at least for the short term, what would you tell them, Steve?
Well, we're you know, particularly the providers that are still standing are very tuned into hanging in there, and they're very tuned into, you know, looking for niches and looking for other ways to stay in there. The question is, you know, how much fun is it? No, it's zero fun. And then what's going to be the ultimate outcome of it? And I think we can't ignore the fact that we do have demographics, you know, heavily in our favor for the next 20 years. You know, there's a population that's going to be needing our stuff, needing our expertise. And we're going to just have to continue and you know that the leaders in the industry are aware of all this. They're working hard on it. You know, keep your chin up. But you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to be innovative. You're going to have to be, you know, cost conscious. All those things that, you know, you normally take for granted running the business, but there's just no room for mistakes. And, but I think it should even out in the long run. Again, you know, people are coming around to the fact that, yeah, maybe we do have to spend some of our own money on this. It's unfortunate that Medicare can't come out and just say, hey, our benefit only extends this far. This is what you can get. But, you know, those things are going to be worked on. And it's victories for us tend to be incremental. And, you know, I've got faith in the leadership that we've got at AA Home Care. The respiratory group is definitely working hard on keeping that benefit out and available. And I think we, you know, cross our fingers, work hard, get involved. I mean, every time you talk to me, I'm saying that. If you're not involved, get involved. If you're not a member, become a member. You need to support the people that are supporting you.
All right. Well, Steve, I really appreciate you taking the time and providing all this information. I think you've underscored a really important facet of the Delta variant that's making itself very known, very, very well.
Welcome, DV.
Yeah. Yeah. What if the only humor we can scavenge out of this is black humor, I'll take it.
There you go. That is good.
All right. Well,
all right, David.
Thank you very much, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Take care, David.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, thanks again to Steve. He's always such a terrific help. He's been on the editorial advisory board since 2008. And of course, you know, he's been a past chair of AA Home Care. Steve is always willing to help his fellow providers. So thank you, Steve. I think we're going to wrap things up for this episode. Again, apologies for the speakerphone quality. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry and everything that's happening with us here at HME Business, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. That is easily your lifeline to everything that we've got going on. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. You can even get that as a digital flipbook, which is a great resource. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and we're also on LinkedIn. You can find us there. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out. You can hit me up on Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News. Or you can email me at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, that's DKOPF, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling and timely topics like the Delta variant. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.